I'm here with Steve Kilpatrick. So you are...
I'm a composer and music producer. I'm also a guitar player and bassist. Predominantly at the minute, I'm doing mixing and mastering from this lovely facility. Place we're in, yes.
Yeah, yeah. So tell me a little bit about your background then, what's brought you here. But let's start with where you're sort of from. And...
Well, I'm from the north of England and discovered recording probably around the age of 15. With the high school I was at, brought a lady in who teach the kids about recording, and so we made little jingles for the imaginary radio show. And I think we just ripped off Van Halen's Jump for our morning jingle. And we had a lot of fun, and then did what a lot of kids do from my background, which is you start on a sensible career. So I studied as a civil engineer for 3 years.
That's quite a, from where you are now, that's quite a big jump, isn't it?
Yeah, I wasn't very good. Civil engineer student, I realised that quite quickly. And okay. I'd always secretly wanted to be a musician, but always felt to articulate that would make me a laughingstock in my sort of where I was from, where okay. you were supposed to have a proper job. So after leaving engineering, I went all in and went to study an HND in popular music and recording, which led on to a degree at the University of Salford. What was called band musicianship at the time.
Okay.
And there still weren't that many choices for recording, but it had a recording element.
Yeah.
Because that had originally begun as a brass band degree.
Wow, brass band degree.
Yeah, but it had grown into jazz. I picked it because at the time I was really interested in jazz, I was really interested in recording, and I was just developing an interest in contemporary classical music.
Right.
And we could do all of those things there. So I signed up for that and really, really enjoyed my degree and then stayed on all the way till you can't do any more. And then still didn't want to leave and ended up a senior lecturer in the university teaching composition.
Oh, excellent.
And also studio production. And then I've always been freelance since about the age of 18. I've always had a freelance career. But around 2018, I decided to not have the safety net of an academic career.
Right.
So I pulled the plug on that, and I'd been thinking about this for a long time. And we were actually, a friend of ours was touring Europe with the band that he plays with, okay. which is quite a big, a very, very big band. And we sort of used that as an opportunity to be with our California friends as they traveled around Europe for this tour. And we went with them. And
were you playing? Were you working?
I wasn't playing. We were just hanging out. And then that was really when I saw the opportunity, and I thought, you know, if I'm ever going to be freelance, it won't be a better.
Yeah.
Completely freelance with that, because I've always done okay with freelance, but always had that.
So when you say freelance, as a composer, freelance?
At the time, it was really as a composer.
Yeah.
And although I've always done recording, I did study recording at university, it actually came to the forefront more because I was just running my own projects and increasingly recording, doing all the recording. And then I'd find myself doing the mixing, and then I'd find myself doing the mastering, and then other people started asking me to do the mixing, and other people started asking me. And as you know, well-paid composition work is, you know, sometimes you get it, and you have a great year with not much work, and sometimes you do a lot of work and don't make a lot of money.
Yeah.
So I was quite happy to take on those projects. And
tell me about the composition, because you've written an opera, is that right?
Yes. So the opera was premiered in 2011. It was actually commissioned as part of the 2012 London Olympics. So it was the Cultural Olympiad in 2011. And this was, although I'm not a Yorkshireman, this was Yorkshire's flagship project. And so I was commissioned to write that. I did the music for some commercials and things that really took off.
Anything that our listeners might...
Well, the most well-known thing and the most lucrative thing I've ever done thus far was I did the trailer music for Resident Evil 6, the game, which got a lot of traction worldwide.
And I bet.
So I did that year. I wrote the opera, but I also wrote a few string quartets that year that got performed in the States, and they got multiple sort of performances, and I developed a good relationship with an excellent string quartet from New York that played my music.
And how would you describe, I know I hate describing music, but how would you describe the string quartets, for example?
My favourite piece of mine, I think, would be considered very contemporary. by most people.
Okay.
It's not melodic in any sense. It's very textural. That took me 3 years to write. So that, wow, that piece of music took me 3 years.
And how long is the piece of music?
It's about 8 minutes.
Yeah. But that, and that's, yeah, so I totally get that. And yeah, I'm sure that a lot of people won't realise the amount of work that goes into writing just a few minutes of,
yes,
of a big piece of music like, yeah, that. And so the opera was part of the cultural Olympiad, you said. And
that's
so,
right.
And where was that performed?
It was performed in Leeds, but premiered in Bridlington.
Okay.
In Bridlington Spa, it's a fantastic Victorian, yeah, not a spa where you go for bathing, but you know, yes, you call it like a pier type,
yeah,
building.
Yeah.
So that was the premiere, and I think I had four performances.
Wow. And what was the, what were the forces? How big was the?
It was fairly small and fairly big at the same time. A lot of these projects have to have a lot of community involvement.
Right.
So I basically had a core of seven pros who specialised in contemporary music.
Right.
So I had my three singers, two of whom played two characters each, and one of them was Oniko, who is my wife, who performs quite a lot of my music, and then a string quartet from the States called Voxari. So those guys all did all the really hard contemporary stuff.
Right.
And then I had a pretty large wind band from Yorkshire. They were part of the community, and they're also a community choir as well. So it was really arranging the sort of hierarchies of abilities.
Yes, that could
but
be
also
quite tricky, yeah.
Utilising the less professional members in such a way that the music is cohesive with,
yeah,
what the professionals were doing.
So in the compositional process, were you aware of these tiers that you were kind of working with?
Yeah, I knew that from the outset. Oh, there was
right.
a children's choir as well.
Oh, wow.
I forgot about the children's wow. choir. Because of the nature of the project, I spent a lot of time with the different groups. For example, the community choir lost all its men suddenly. So then it was a women's choir.
Right.
So, you know, you redo it. Okay, we
yeah.
can't do SATB anymore.
Right, right.
The children's choir was really just children from school.
Yeah,
and they
yeah.
were very young, six or something
wow.
like that.
That must be fun, though. Delightful.
They were fun, but an element of chaos that alongside a string quartet is exciting,
yeah.
to say the
yeah,
least.
Yeah.
Their appearance on stage for the premiere, because they were also dressed as little birds, and they, as well as singing, they did little bird
yeah,
dances.
Yeah.
Very cute.
Yeah.
But they're all excited, and they come rushing past the string quartet with a huge gust of wind as they go, paper everywhere.
Yeah,
fortunately,
yeah.
the ultra-professional string players just went from memory till somebody could scrabble around and get the...
yeah.
their papers together, but they were phenomenal players.
Yeah.
So they probably had it in their head anyway, but
yeah.
it made it exciting. And then you have to think about things like, okay, these kids are not gonna be good at knowing where their notes are, so I'll have them following another character
yeah.
in a sort of a canon
cue,
yeah. you know, or yeah. And then this bit they'll be in unison with one of the professionals,
right.
or here violin one is going to be playing the tune, so they can sort of
yeah,
stick to
yeah.
that.
Oh, that's a fascinating project. And has that been recorded? Have you got a record of it?
There is a recording of it. It was published, the libretto was published as a book, an accompanying CD.
And is it online? Can it be heard online or not?
I have an unofficial version online, which is the video that was made
right.
of it.
So we can put a link if you
We can
if
put
you
a
want.
Link
we can put
to
a
that,
link for
yeah.
our listeners who might
yeah.
want
to. It's in several parts on YouTube.
Yeah, no, that would be good to have. And so what's next composition-wise? What are your plans?
I've always got lots of plans about what I'm going to compose. And what I really want to do at the minute, it's kind of my bucket list thing, is do a rock album. And do a rock album and just do it almost the old-fashioned way of go with a record company, let them press it. It's got to be vinyl. I'm not doing it just a CD. And it's just because it's a bucket list thing. I've always been on the edge of doing
yeah.
that, or been in bands where post vinyl where it comes out
yeah.
on CD. So it's kind of my bucket list.
So have you got a band, or are you going to...
It's kind of me. I'm all the band. But what I would like to do with this is actually get a band together to tour as
yeah.
well. And so that's the composition project. And then there's a few things that I've done that I really want to sort of get together new recordings for. So there's a music theatre piece I wrote called The Night Bride. I'd like to get a nice recording of that, and then with my recordings. I have the string quartets. I'd like to put out an album that is going to be called The Night Bride and Other Dark Tales.
So you're doing a fair bit of mixing and mastering for clients? Yeah?
Mixing and mastering. A lot of mastering for groups in the UK.
Right.
Largely because I have a relationship with another studio in the UK, and I'm their preferred mastering engineer, so they're referring a lot of clients. Yeah. I'd like to sort of expand that area.
Yeah. And so I didn't really ask you, why Brittany? What brought you here?
Well, we explored a lot of countries, first of all, before we settled on France. Hungary was one country we looked at, Spain and Portugal were another one. We settled on France, and then we sort of explored theoretically where, and Brittany came out as the number one location, partly to find the kind of building we wanted for the studio in Brittany. And we came out for two exploratory visits, and on the second one we made an offer on this house. And to make life more difficult, it was also in the confinement that we did that.
Okay, so we'll post the links for the studio on the podcast page, and so people can get in touch with you if they have a mastering project or a mixing project. And I look forward to hearing the rock album when it comes out. And we'll talk to you again sometime down the line and catch up and see what you've done.
That'd be great.
We're finding out if you've kept your project timeline going.
Well, we'll see. I may have moved on to another project.
Thanks, Steve.
Thank you.